Hi everyone, Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It's Friday morning, which means it's time for the Week in Review and Preview conversation, where my guests will recap how markets have performed over the past few sessions and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Today's conversation will primarily focus on this week's Fed policy meeting, as well as monetary policy moving into 2025. Joining us for the conversation, I'm glad to welcome back Brian Rose, Senior U.S. Economist with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Brian, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Thanks, Siobhan. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Brian. So let's get started. Let's begin with the Fed. Can you provide us with some takeaways from this week's policy meeting?
Sure. So the Fed cut rates another 25 basis points after cutting by 50 in September. It brings the Fed funds target range down to 4.5% to 4.75%. This was very much in line with expectations, and the Fed didn't give us much in terms of forward guidance. In the press conference after the meeting, Fed Chair Powell just flatly refused to give any kind of indication as to what they might do at the next meeting in December, or even give his own personal view as to whether another cut is likely in December. Our base case remains that the Fed will cut again in December, because the recent labor data has been pretty soft and the Fed doesn't want to see further weakening in the labor market. But of course, it will depend on how the data comes in between now and the meeting. If we get some strong data, especially if the labor market data looks stronger, then the Fed could very well skip a rate cut in December.
Thank you so much for providing your insights on that, Brian. So with the 2024 election outcome now largely known, what might be the outcome implications for the course of monetary policy moving into 2025?
So first, I should note that Powell said very clearly that he would not resign even if asked. And also that in his view, and I guess the Fed's view, the president does not have the legal authority to remove him. So we expect Powell to stay until his term expires in May 2026, and then he'll be replaced. And you will have a lot of time to speculate over who the new Fed chair that might be. But again, Powell is staying. And Powell also reiterated that the Fed isn't going to make assumptions about possible changes to fiscal policy. So, for example, there's been this idea that the Fed might stop cutting rates because they think fiscal policy will be eased next year. But that kind of thing just won't happen. But if fiscal policy actually changes, so legislation passes or there is some kind of actual policy change on the fiscal side, then those changes will be incorporated into the Fed's economic models. They'll try to understand what the implications of those changes are. And at that point, the policy could be affected. But for the moment, again, nothing changes. And we're sticking with our view that the Fed will slow the pace of cuts to once per quarter in 2025. So a total of 100 basis points of cuts during the year. Partially, that view reflects our expectation that we won't see a big loosening of fiscal policy. But if there is a big change, big tax cuts, big spending increases, then the Fed would probably end up cutting less in those circumstances.
So I want to move outside of the Fed, Brian. What were some other macro events from this week?
So this was a pretty light week in terms of data. Did get the ISM services PMI, which surprised to the upside, the strongest reading in more than 2 years, and more in line with the strong GDP growth we've been getting. So we had this mysterious situation where the ISM services is weak, but GDP growth is strong. Now that's been resolved in favor of better looking numbers. But we also had vehicle sales in October, rising above 16 million on an annualized pace. That's the best since May 2021. So, again, another positive sign for the economy.
So we are coming to the end of our conversation, Brian. I want to look ahead to next week. What is taking place that investors should be mindful of?
So next week will be a very heavy week for data. We get the NFIB survey of small businesses. Now, this leans Republican, and I think we'll see a big jump reflecting the results of the election, but that will be next month. This month, it's too early to reflect the election. So probably, another week reading here. We'll get the senior loan officer survey. So it gives us an idea if banks are tightening their lending standards. And then the really key releases the next week. It's the CPI and also producer price index, import and export prices. Now, obviously, the inflation data is really, really important for the Fed at the moment. And we could see a little bit of upside risk for some technical reasons. And then we'll get retail sales for October, which again is another very important release. So the strength of GDP recently has been driven mostly by consumer spending on goods, which are picked up by this retail sales data. So another very important release. And then finally, we'll get industrial production for October. This will probably be another weak reading because of the impact of the hurricanes. So maybe another piece of data that's hard to interpret, but should be another negative reading because there were enough factory shutdowns to impact this data.
Okay, perfect, Brian. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.